While we're talking about pricing strategies, also let's see how it works for companies when they adjust prices. So one is adjusting upward or adjusting downward. Now, in the case of Netflix and penetrative pricing, we saw that even though they adjusted upward after they got a loyal customer base, it didn't affect their customers, because they communicated, got the message out, justified it. And also the perception, they were confident about the perception and value of what they are offering. Now, they have, I mean, they have, if you see in terms of their content provision also, which they offer, they have invested heavily in content. They made original content like House of Cards, original content like Stranger Things, which were received very well for multiple seasons. So even if someone is raising prices, they are managing to justify it through their what they are offering. The communication is going out clearly that whether it is formal communication or it's purely in terms of advertising, etc., or what their content will offer, which would make a customer feel okay, they are raising prices, but they're not going to lose my business. I mean, if you look at just their US library, there are some 5,800, close to 5,800 titles they have in the library there. And of course, when we browse through the Netflix India library, we see the number of titles which are there. They are bringing in content which is dubbed in local languages, so you don't, how people don't like to read the subtitles. There is local language dubbing which is happening. A very big market in India is dubbing international content in Hindi language for Netflix. And so it is something which someone who may not be very comfortable with English, they are very happy that they can listen to not to they don't have to see the subtitles. They can very happily listen to the Hindi dubbed version and enjoy an international project, whether it's from Korea or from any other, from Europe or from any other part of the world, and enjoy that content immensely. So here there is prices being raised, but a very clear justification because of which you do not lose the customer. Now, when you lower prices, you have to make sure that it is not being seen as a as an indicator of lower quality. So, for example, when a Tesla initially comes in with a higher price, and have those early movers who are who want those Tesla cars, once they have those, the quality has been established. The name already is an established name, so people know that even if they introduce a lower price model, maybe features might vary, but it will not be lower quality. So while lowering quality, lowering price, you have to keep in mind that it should not convey the wrong messages of lowering prices. Removing, reducing features is not the same thing, it does not amount to the same thing as lowering or reducing price. So these are some of the dynamics which one has to keep in mind. Continuing with our discussion on various kinds of pricing, some of the pricing is pricing strategies are psychological pricing. Now, what is psychological pricing? Psychological pricing is when you see the price of rupees 199, rupees 499. It's actually just 1 rupee lesser than 200. It's just 1 rupee lesser than 500, but psychologically, oh, I'm getting it in less than 200 rupees. Oh, I'm getting it in less than 500 rupees. So it is just a psychological play to draw in the customer. And given it is so popular the world over, like if you travel to another country, you will see the same thing. It's $199, which is pretty much $2. A lot of times after paying, you don't even wait to get your 1 pence back. Likewise, in India, when you're paying 199, very often you don't even wait to get your 1 rupee back. So you're pretty much practically paying 200 rupees. So it is a psychological play of drawing in, because people have, especially people on a budget, people where the items are not very high end, have this psychological threshold of how much they are willing to pay for. So I'm fine with it if it's within 500. I'm fine with it if it's within 200. So this is an example of psychological pricing. Likewise, you have another kind of pricing, which is your bundle pricing. Now, what is bundle pricing? Bundle pricing is when you have a McDonald's Happy Meal. So you go to buy a burger, and they say, oh, you know, for 20 rupees extra, you'll actually get a free fries, or you will get a free Coke, or both, or, you know, whatever they, I'm just giving you a broad illustration. So when two for the price of one, a package of a Happy Meal, you know, other things are thrown in, then, or when you're going to buy a certain product, and in that little pouch, you have multiple that along with this, you're also getting this. If you just pay marginally a little more, typically this also happens when companies want to push out. They have an inventory, they want to sell, and they want to clubbing it with the others, even if it's for a marginally higher price. Then especially in the retail industry, it can really help. Now, of course, in the food industry, it is not about having a higher inventory, because you know, these are perishable. You are preparing them there and serving them. But these are the ways in which you can bring in more customers. You can give the customers a sense of, oh, we got a bargain. You know, we're very happy we managed to get a bargain because we got a bunch of things. So when you're doing two for the price of one, when you're doing a meal, a cohesive meal, then you know, this is bundle pricing. Very often in this, you could have a related product. So, you know, buy two, get one free. It could be a related product, you know, buy two t-shirts, you get the third t-shirt free. Or it could be a generic also, you know, that from the store you buy any two, you can pick up a third product. So it could be a related, unrelated bundle which is happening. Also, another thing to keep in mind, when you say buy one, get one free, in your mind, what is the discount? 50% discount. So when the company is saying buy one, get one free, to the customer, it's a 50% discount. But in reality, the discount, the cost to the company offering that is not actually 50%. They are saving on the cost, because they're saving overhead cost. They're saving the cost of servicing an additional customer. They are saving various other costs. So actually, to them, the discount works out more like 43-44% rather than actually 50%. So there is that saving of 5-6% which can go to their bottom line. So this is bundle pricing. This is your psychological pricing. And then you have certain interesting examples of pricing, which is, for example, there is an interesting pricing model called, pricing strategy called freemium. And in freemium, we would be very familiar with freemium pricing at some point of time or the other in our day-to-day lifetime usage of apps, etc., or, you know, usage of goods and services. For example, Spotify, you know, the music, where you get your music. So the music provider, so Spotify or music or podcasts or, you know, various things. So your Spotify has a free model, you know, the basic free service, and then they have a premium paid for service. Likewise, when you go to YouTube, there is a free service, you know, and then you keep getting pop-ups for, do you want a ads-free premium service? So when you have freemium is where within the same product or service, you have the option of going free and you have the option of going paid. So for example, when I was telling you about the earlier MX player had a paid had a free version where watch all the content in the world, but there will be ads coming in. And they also invested heavily in content. So it's not that they did not have costs. It's not that they did not want to generate revenue. But then if you are going for a free pricing, a free package, then you will have to watch ads, which will also then bring in revenue for them. So for example, the show Ashram, which is now on the merged platform of MX Player, which I'm not sure, but I think it's Amazon Prime. But Ashram, initially the first two seasons, the very popular show Ashram, was on MX Player. And a lot of people who were in the free package have seen it despite all the ads under the sun being there, because, you know, they were happy with that free pricing. But at the same time, when I wanted to watch it, I did not want to be distracted by the ads. I did not want the flow of, you know, watching the show, because there are parts of the show which are very, very engaging, involving. So I did not want those breaks. So I went in for a premium pricing. So which to me was justified. Why? It was justified. The paid package was justified to me, because, I mean, they didn't have to consciously justify. It was enough of a justification for me, because I was sure of their content. So when Netflix penetrated the market and then raised prices, the justification was there because of what they were, the viewing experience they were offering. And likewise, when I went for the paid subscription of MX Player, while the free version was available, the justification for me was there because of the reviews, because of my desire to watch this show. And, you know, then also explore, other than watching, you know, I had primarily only heard of this, but then, you know, I started watching another show. I think it was called Maharani or, you know, something else. And they seem to have a lot of good content. So there was a complete justification for me to go for that paid package. So when you have your freemium, you have the free package available, and you also have the paid package. Now, I'm talking about viewership. Now, look at some of the apps that we have. So, for example, a lot of people, Photoshop. There are amateur photographers across the globe, you know, including the Princess Catherine, you know, Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton, who is said to be a very, very passionate amateur photographer, and is, you know, that huge episode happened where she put up something and, you know, it was apparently photoshopped or what have you. So today there are, you know, the photograph as you see it, you don't know if it's authentic the way it was clicked, or whether it has been photoshopped, or it has been put through some artificial intelligence package like your Redmi, which enhances the photograph. You don't know whether the background has been changed. You don't know whether cut and paste has happened. So much work and morphing can happen on content, whether that is, you have your deep fake, which is a huge, concern as well. So you don't know what you are watching, whether it is real or whether it has been worked on. So now you have so many apps. You know, of course, there are, things like deepfake aren't exactly legitimate and legal, but you have so many apps which are very much legal for you to use to work on visual content, whether it's photographs, whether it is videos, etc. And when you go on, like, for example, I use collage makers. I use, an app which makes collages. I use an app, you know, when you take a picture and you are uploading it on, Instagram, very often it crops it in a way where it is cutting. And that's probably because of the dimensions. It has to have a square border or something. And there are apps, you know, like White Border, which can help you create those borders and dimensions, which can upload your pictures well. So when you use these apps, it will give you, either you are using the free service, and then it will give you a pop-up, you know, it has given you the, you know, done whatever, but when you want to save it or download what you have worked on, the picture you have worked on, it might give you an option saying, do you want to continue with the free service, or, you know, you want to go for the upgraded version? And if you choose to continue to go for the free version, it will say, oh, you know, then you will need to watch an app, you will need to watch an ad. So I say, okay, and, you know, it gives me a 30-second ad, which I may or may not watch, but it has to run, 10, 15-second ad, whatever ad it is picking out. So I am choosing to go for the free version, where I don't mind spending that 15 to 30 seconds on watching an ad and getting my free service and getting this downloaded. Whereas someone may say that, you know, someone who has who's maybe using it professionally, I'm only using it for personal interest, but someone may be using it professionally where they have a time involved, you know, an urgency involved, and they may choose to go for the pricing priced package where they don't have to waste their time watching these ads. And maybe possibly with that, because I have not explored, but possibly with the paid package, you also may have additional features involved. And also what happens very often with the free packages, that they will give you a certain number of free usages, after which they will say, you have exhausted your free usages, 5, 10, whatever it is, and now you will have to pay. So, for example, there was an AI enhance a video enhancement app that I was using. Now, we know that the video quality gets downgraded through, when you forward something on WhatsApp or when you download something from the internet or various other, the video quality may not always be very clear. So, to enhance video quality, there are a lot of apps available. And there is this one app which allowed me to enhance my video quality using the app. But then it said that, you know, you had 5 free uses. Now you have exhausted those 5 free uses. So if you want to continue to use it, now go for the paid package. So this is, again, a pricing strategy where I value the app. I chose not to go for it, and, you know, but if I was maybe using it for work or professionally, I might say, okay, this is really enhancing the quality of my content, which is eventually leading to increased engagement and satisfaction from whoever my customer is, whoever my client is. So I'm willing to pay that amount. Now, I did not do that, but people do. Likewise, for example, there are informative websites. You know, there is this one website which has a lot of information on stock markets, on market, where you can compare a lot of the products. You can run formulas and iterations and filters, and it will give you a lot of those returns, etc., calculated, various other factors, risk factors, etc., calculated. And when you use those, beyond a certain point, it says, you know, you have exhausted your few uses of this, viewing the pages on this site. Now, please pay for it. So freemium pricing has your free and your paid options for the same service provider. And of course, you are going for the paid option based on your value of what you are paying for. Because, for example, when we are willing to go for premium pricing for wearing a Nike, for having an iPhone, also what they are doing is, especially say in the case of an Apple, that they are not only getting you in as a consumer of the iPhone. Apple has so many other products like the Mac, the iPad, the various other things. So if you have a synchronized Apple ecosystem around you, then you are very comfortable with that. So you are not only going for an Apple iPhone, you are also linking into the other Apple products. So they are offering this premium pricing. Yes, you are paying a higher amount, but you're very happy with the Apple synchronized ecosystem. You are very happy with, you know, how those features work. Or, for example, let's say someone has a loyalty towards Samsung. So when you have Samsung products, there may be a certain kind of synchronicity, or, you know, the way the ease in terms of how you use them, how they are compatible with each other across multiple products of Samsung itself. So when you create an ecosystem where the customer is very comfortable with having products of the same brand, all the more you can justify the higher pricing, the premium pricing, because the customer is choosing that this value is good for him because he likes this whole ecosystem where he's comfortable with all these, using not just single product, but a lot of the other products around in your ecosystem. Another example of a pricing strategy is your high-low pricing strategy, which is a very interesting pricing strategy where you have let's say a retail store. Now, the retail store may have put coupons or a discount ad in a newspaper, and internationally, especially, a lot of discount coupons are put in newspapers. And you know, some people have a habit of cutting it and saving it and then going and using it and being very passionate about the coupons they have accumulated. So let's say that there is a retail store which has put these coupons or discounts in the paper for certain category of products, and they draw in the customer to their physical space for these low priced products. Now, this typically will happen when they have large inventory they want to sell out. But they also in their product basket have more expensive products, higher end products. And they are drawing in the customer with these coupons for lower end, lower price products. But at the same time, in their store, they are placing the high price products in a way that the customer, while browsing the lower price products that they came in for to begin with, also gets interested in the high price products and might buy them. Or for example, the low price products for which you have drawn in the customer, and the customer has come with the goal and intention of buying those low price products from with the discount or the coupon that they have, you place the low price products at the back of the store. So before reaching the back of the store, the stacks before that have the higher price products, which is where you will make your money, which is where your margins will be made and more than make up for the discount you're offering. And while navigating to the low price product that the customer came in for, he gets drawn to this high price, these high price products, because he has to walk through those aisles before getting to his initially intended purchase. So this is a high-low model of pricing, where you are drawing in with the lower pricing and then you are very strategically placing higher price products or services around that. Likewise, if I go to a site to purchase something which is low price because, you know, there was some attractive scheme which drew me to it, discount scheme which drew me to it, and then on the site very attractively and, you know, before taking me to the purchase point of my intended low price service or product, it is taking me, also showing me and navigating me in a way where I'm getting to see other higher priced products and services which are attractive to me, which I find a value for, I might end up purchasing those. So this is a high low pricing strategy which can be very effective from a revenue generation point of view, that you draw in and then you also have the opportunity to showcase your higher price products to the customer in the same space. So many kinds of different pricing strategies work. Now, for example, there is seasonal pricing where airlines, during peak seasons, they raise their prices, and during, lull seasons, they offer their airfares at discount. So you have different strategies which come in. There is seasonal, there is geographical pricing where keeping currencies, other local factors, the same thing could be priced differently in different countries, different regions, different markets. For example, alcohol in India. We know that alcohol is cheaper in Goa and more expensive because the duty structure, various things, etc., there are lower than in Maharashtra. Or, different states have their different taxes, levies, etc., which affect the impact the pricing. So geographical pricing comes in. Now, again, when you have winter wear, one is not going to be willing to pay too much for winter wear in Mumbai, where, practically there is no winter. So you might have a different strategy for winter wear, in Mumbai and for summer wear in Mumbai. And likewise, in Delhi, your pricing strategy could be very different. So when it comes to pricing strategy, all of these factors come into play for companies, for products and services to decide what will work for my customer, to manage my operations, to have my bottom line, and to create customer satisfaction. So before I wind up this discussion, we have seen a lot of the aspects, elements which are going into the final pricing of product or service and the various elements, right, from cost to demand to a competitor, methods to geographic considerations, various other considerations which are going in. All of these steps put together help companies to arrive at an optimum pricing strategy which works for the customer and for the company. So I'll wind up by giving you some very interesting examples of how different pricing attracts customers and how dynamic pricing and interesting pricing strategies work. So there is the restaurants in Venice, which is your city in the water in Italy. Venice has a very interesting concept that if you're sitting at restaurants in St. Mark's Square, which is the main square of in Venice, and they have these restaurants with patios where there is someone playing live piano and a little concert happening, and they've also had chairs and tables laid out where you can have your wine, you can have your pizzas, and you can order your food and drinks. And it's very interesting because the pricing of the bill, your bill will vary regardless of what you have ordered. For the same items, your bill will vary. The price that you end up paying will vary based on, is the music still playing? Has the concert shut down? If your bill appeared or, when the concert was still on, you are having a more value additive experience and you will get a price, where you will end up paying a higher price for what you purchased. Whereas, when the concert, I don't know how much it is possible to time the receipt of your bill, but it's very interesting how the customers are drawn into the whole experience and enjoying, the whole experience of this varying pricing and how it is factored. And a lot of customers actually get attracted by this and are willing to, get their bill at a time when the prices are higher. But the value addition going into the strategy and the whole experience around deciding what your optimal price is. So that is how pricing strategies work across the world and the various motivations and factors which go into deciding how a pricing should work become important. So in conclusion, all these factors put together, not simply the cost, but the whole across the whole chain and keeping the objectives, the motivations and the satisfaction of the level of the customer in mind and your own targets and your own motivations from a bottom line, from a stakeholder point of view, all of these put together lead to an effective pricing strategy for your goods and services. Thank you.